This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard this Air France message. With Air France, your journey to France begins when you set foot on the plane, starting with a complimentary glass of champagne in every class. And in business and la première, savor a five-course meal with cheese and wine and unique menus created by some of the greatest French chefs. Enjoy a taste of France before you arrive. Bon appétit. Elegance is a journey. Air France.
Some people like A and others like B. At BMW, we prefer X. Like the dynamic X3, meant for ultimate exploration. The X5, built to conquer even the most difficult paths, or the pinnacle of comfort and luxury, the X7. And since every X-Range vehicle is packed with performance and versatility, you'll always get the best of X. The BMW X-Range. Your next X-Venture starts here.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettey along with Charlie Long in studio, 545. Our triple option feature at 520 or a little afterwards. Former Major League Baseball pitcher, also Nichols State pitcher, Scott Sanders will join us to talk LSU Fighting Tigers and Dameron ruled Southern today. And so we'll get Scott to talk about the weekend. And tomorrow they play a team that he knows a little bit about. We'll have him talk a little bit about the Colonels and talk about a big changeover. Brent Herring, man, he told me, Mike, I almost got to hit him with a little patch on the sleeve to figure out the names, because got a whole new group out there in the Colonels team and Thibodeau. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text. Let's go to James. James, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, guys. So I heard about all the moves. And what I was going to ask initially until I heard the new moves,
Paganetti.
Sounds like Pagan to me. But anyway, I think that's a power move, because that hurts Philadelphia, because if anything, he was one of the rocks that really set Saquon. And so I guess my real question is, we're going to a 3-4 defense. That's okay. If we get half of what Swillard and Ricky did, I'm fine with it. But so my question to you guys, I guess the guy that I would want, if we go into the 3-4, you guys might feel different. I want Mike Green. You know, I heard about James Pierce. He's a little light in the pants. But I know he's from a small school, but I saw him in the Senior Bowl?
Senior Bowl, he dominated.
I saw him in the Sun Belt Championship.
Yeah. He had an unbelievable season. James, he was a guy last year that flashed it from time to time.
17 sacks.
This year, he was the man.
Yeah.
And it's like he shot out of a cannon every time he jumps off that line of scrimmage. He's really gotten better as a technician in his ability to get his arms and hands on you. He is not a 6'4", 245-pound guy. That's not him. But, boy, can he rush the quarterback. And what I liked about him, he was relentless in pursuit. And I know Charlie got to see him play in some of the games. But you better try to run away from him, because if you run at him, he had a way of getting off of a big man block that he didn't do a year ago. He was caught up in heavy traffic because he isn't the biggest guy. But he was very impressive all season long. And then certainly he goes to the Senior Bowl, didn't play in the game, but in the practices, I think he hit the first 3 days of practice, and it was almost like he hit his hands. I've done enough. And he, you know, that one video of him beating Josh Connolly, who I think is a first-round pick offensive tackle from Oregon. Now, again, that day,
he was on the right
Josh
side.
Was playing right tackle. Now, a lot of people made a big deal about it, but he was a little bit out of position. But Mike Green, man, he just sort of steamrolled him. Mike Green's a guy that I think will be a top 15, 16 pick in his draft class. You could not have said that 2 months ago. Even though he put up great numbers in college, you couldn't have said that. Him going to the Senior Bowl, and I texted this to Jim Nagy, he made a lot of money in those 3 days of practice.
Yeah, absolutely. And so Mike Green is one that's kind of, I don't want to say it's similar with Mambu, where they have kind of a variable of like opinions on him, where they'll end up. But I'm on your side, Mike. I think he's going to end up in the top half of the first round. I don't think he's going to fall much further than around 16. If you want Mike Green, you're probably going to have to take him at 9. And I'm not necessarily against that. There are a couple prospects that I like at 9. What do you think about him as a run defender, Mike? Because his size is,
he's gotten better. Because a year ago in 2023, in watching him, he flashed it as a pass rusher. You could see the skill set. But he got caught up with heavy people. He could not get off of a block. I don't know, and I'd like to find out from him, who he worked with in the offseason. Because now he knows how to use his arms and hands really well. And it's not about going one-on-one and beating that guy physically. You know what he knows how to do? Get around him. Okay, he understands at 235 pounds, I'm going up against a 330-pound guy. What's my chances of beating him physically? It's slim and none. But he knows how to get around those guys. And he got somebody to work with him on the technical side of moving left, moving right, using leverage and his ability to spin around a big man. And you saw when they played him this year, teams weren't running at him anymore. They were running away from him. That told you they saw early on that he was that much better against the run.
Much improved, yeah. So with Mike Green specifically, Mike, where do you have him in your edge rankings? It is a great defensive line class. We've talked about that a bunch. Abdul Carter's number one.
Clear cut, and then there's a gap.
And then there's, he's one of the blue chip prospects, as we've mentioned. One of those three guys with him, Travis Hunter, and Mason Graham. But Abdul Carter is the number one edge rusher. There's a gap. And then where does Mike Green kind of fit into that situation?
I would put him in the three spot because I think if he's healthy, Mikel gets the two spot.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, again, a lot of people, he didn't put up great numbers. Well, he was hurt all year. He had the ankle injury. He wasn't quite the same guy from an explosive standpoint. But I'm interested when he goes to the combine, what he runs and everything else. Those Georgia guys know how to train for that moment in time. Same thing with Jalen Walker. Jalen had a bit of a up and down year. I thought he had more good moments than bad, but there were times he sort of disappeared. And they were kind of moving him around quite a bit because they knew Mikel wasn't quite the same guy he was a year ago because of the injury. Now, it's going to depend on where you want to play Jalen because he reminds me of a slightly heavier version of Nolan Smith.
Yeah.
Who's with the Eagles today. Now, he couldn't be no skinnier than Nolan. I mean, Nolan was like 224, something in that range. He had a thin build with him. Walker's a more filled out guy.
I think Jalen, we also both agree here, Mike, will probably end up playing off ball like he did at Georgia instead of being in a true edge. I think he has a lot of pass rush juice as a linebacker, but I think they'll play him off ball at the NFL level. Now, Mikel Williams, it just feels like
he could do both.
It feels like he's got such a high floor at the NFL level. I'm not exactly sure what his ceiling is. You mentioned that he had the injury this past year, and that's why the numbers weren't fantastic, especially in pass rush. The high floor is there because he's great in the run game, and he can just kind of plug and play.
See, that's why he's two to me.
Yeah, so then you have,
because of his ability to play to run very, very well.
I agree, 1,000%. So then you have Mike Green at number three. We're just kind of, this is another one that's got a lot of variables to it. James Pierce Jr., who James had kind of mentioned earlier, that's a dude that, coming into the year had super high expectations. he's got a lot of juice in the pass game and pass rush. But at the same time, he's a little bit kind of smaller, as James also mentioned there. I would probably put him below Mike Green as well. But where do you kind of have him in the mix in this edge rush class?
It's going to be a lot of mixed opinion on James Pierce Jr. A lot. And some teams are going to really like him. And it's going to be scheme fit for Pierce.
Right.
And I did a couple of shows out in Knoxville kind of explaining that for me, I think he's really best stand-up kind of 3-4 outside linebacker where he can utilize his skill set as a pass rusher. He's good in pursuit. Mm-hmm. He is very good.
He's got tons of speed.
And, man, can he run?
Yep.
He's like a track sprinter out there on the field. Now, where he's got to get better is work with someone to an ability to get around bigger players. I think this year he got caught up in a lot of traffic.
He can kind of get washed away a little bit, Mike.
But, you know, again, he's 235, 240. You're going up against a 320-pound lineman. You're not going to win that one-on-one. So you got to get better as a technician to work your way around much bigger guys at the NFL level. I think he's a first-round pick. I think he's more of a 20s guy.
Okay.
Than anything else. He's a guy, you have some teams like him in the teens and some teams that don't have him as a first-round pick. And so that's the variance this year with the pass rushers that you're going to see in his draft class. And so that's a lot of them. When you got 24 guys on my list of top 75, that means they got a lot of cats out there that can play defensive end and defensive tackle. When we come back, we'll have on with us Scott Sanders, former Major League Baseball pitcher, now covering the LSU Fighting Tigers, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long in studio, and we have on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. It's been a little while since we got to speak to him, but Scott Sanders, former Major League Baseball pitcher, also a former Nicholls State Colonel, and we'll ask him about the Colonels as LSU plays them tomorrow night. Scott, great to have you back on with us, brother. It's baseball season, man.
Yep, greatest time of the year. Now, we just need some warm weather to show up and some sunshine. We'd be really ready to rock and roll.
Well, I hope you ain't waiting for that anytime soon, because next couple of days, it don't look that way, Scott. It looked like we in for another little bit of a cold spell. Scott, as a pitcher, and watching what happened Sunday with Chase Shores and not pitching, it basically was 2 years, going through that surgery that he had. He had the elbow injury in March of 2023, and then I think the surgery was maybe in April of that year. And then to watch what he did, the thing, it wasn't so much who he went up against, but it was his control and his ability, man, to hit the strike zone. That, to me, was really impressive for a guy who hasn't pitched in 2 years, give or take a couple weeks. Your thoughts as a former Major League Baseball pitcher to come back from that type injury and to have that type control?
Well, I tell you, the first part, which is the hardest, is when you don't do something that you love for 2 years in a competitive nature like that. A lot of times you go out, you're overexcited, you're overpumped up, you just do things sometimes that's out of your norm, and you struggle with the strike zone. And I'll be honest, he went out there cool as a cucumber, you know, got up there pumping his fastball for a strike. You know, the one thing that when he was as a freshman, you know, his knock was his slider is just okay. You know, I mean, is it going to be serviceable? Is it going to be good enough to get SEC hitters out? He went out there, threw a slider for a strike. You know what I mean? So he was very impressive. Obviously, he's a big dude, 6'7", you know, kind of has that 3/4 arm spot, but he fills it up, and, you know, he came out blasting 70, 97, 98, and you could tell he missed being on that bump. You know, I could tell he was excited to be out there, and his head was perfect. He went out there, and he did exactly what he did. You know, that first inning, he hit that one little first and third run, which was kind of a little, you know, whatever it is, what it is. I think they knew they were going to score 12 that day probably, and they gave up that one run. But obviously, he probably wanted to put up a bunch of zeros. But he got that first one out the way, and then after that, he settled in and mowed him down.
Cade Anderson, the Friday evening pitcher, 5 innings, shutout ball, 8 strikeouts. And so we had Coach Johnson on the Thursday before the Friday game, and, you know, he spoke glowingly of Chase Shores and also of Cade Anderson. But your thoughts on, I know you were really high on Cade Anderson throughout his career at LSU. You really spoke up well about him. Your thoughts on his first outing this year?
Well, obviously, he's really – I've always been high on him. Obviously, he's a lefty with really good pitching moxie. But, you know, last year he was mainly fastball, curveball. He tried to play around, I think, with a slider, but it didn't really do much for him. His changeup – he has a changeup that doesn't probably use it enough, in my opinion. But I tell you what, he has – in this offseason, and I don't know if he's played summer ball. If he did, probably was very minimal because of the innings he pitched. But he's really honed in – learned a slider, a useful slider, but he's also added a little cut fastball to go along with it. So you're looking at a guy now, you know, he's draft eligible, you know, because some people say, why is he pitching Friday night? So I'm like, because Jay Johnson knows this is his last rodeo with this guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's going to be a high draft pick with, you know, a lefty throwing 92 to 95 with three other pitches to go with his fastball. you know, he's the guy that he goes out there and he just, you know, he didn't translate last year really into SEC play. Weekdays, he literally blew teams away. Punched out 16 against Southeastern, punched out like 12 or 13 against Nichols, you know, and you put him on the weekends and people are like, well, why did he struggle? Why did he struggle on weekends? I said, because his body, his routine was midweek to pitch. You know, now all of a sudden you're cutting him off 2 days early, trying to throw him in on a Saturday or Sunday. For an 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid, that's not easy to do. And he struggled. He did struggle in the SEC, but at the end, really came around, had some good innings in the SEC tournament and in the regionals. But he's taken that and correlated it into being, I'll be honest, I thought he was going to be the Sunday starter this year, and Ironson would be the Friday night guy. You know, with just because of his you know, as much college baseball as he's played. But obviously, Jay thinks a ton of this kid. And I'll be honest, I talked to a bunch of scouts, and they think highly of him as well.
So, Scott, I want to throw some names at you. A lot of new faces on this team, also in the pitching staff. But four freshmen got some run over the weekend. William Schmidt, Kaysen Evans, Maverick Rizzi, and Cooper Williams. And how did they perform? Oh, just through 6 2/3 innings pitched. Allowed one hit, no walks, 12 strikeouts. A very talented group of freshmen that have already seen the mound in Alec Box Stadium. Just want to get your early thoughts on those four.
Yeah, well, obviously they were all throwing 95 plus up to 98, 90, 90, I think some even 99. So obviously velocity, absolutely incredible for kids who are 18, 19 years old. I think, you know, Evans came out coming from Texas. I think a lot of people thought highly of him, but obviously what he did was very impressive. But the one to talk about, to be honest, is Schmidt from Catholic High. As good as this pitching staff is, as much talent as this is, that kid is uber talented, and honestly, he's still heads above everybody else, above Shores, above Anderson, above Ironson. His stuff is absolutely electric. I think he does have some maturing to do. I think that's the only reason why he's probably not going to pitch on the weekends this year as a starter. I think, you know, he's a young kid. You know, if you talk to the teammates, they say he's just a happy-go-lucky kind of a goofy kid. But when I tell you stuff-wise, as good as any freshman stepped on into LSU probably since Aaron Nola, or i.e. Ben McDonald, you know, he's that type of stuff. He does it easy. He repeats it. He's 6'4 and a half, maybe 6'5-ish, tall, thin, slim, but with a beautiful, clean arm swing. And I tell you, that's the one to watch. I mean, because I'll be honest, if he had some maturity on him, he's going to be as good as any Friday night starting SEC talent-wise.
Whoa, that's some strong words. A little bit about their opponent tomorrow in Nichols State. I talked to Coach Herring. He was like, Mike, I got a whole new team, almost like name tags, okay? I know who you are now. But, man, the Colonels have went through a big transition. Losing Jacob Meyer certainly was a big loss, to losing him to LSU. I'll get you to talk a little bit about Jacob. But, man, the Colonels, you talk about a redo. That's a total redo is what Bryn Herring's got on his hands at Nichols State.
Yeah, Brent done a really good job because, I mean, number one, I think they had 17 seniors, or i.e. seniors or guys out of eligibility. Then they lost another probably 6 to 8 to the transfer portal. So literally, I think when he stepped on campus when he got the job, I think he had 9 players on his roster. So obviously we know you need 9 players just to play. And obviously some of those 9 players, a couple of them are pitchers. So he literally had to get in the portal and get with some buddies and just rack up some players. And he did a really good job. Obviously, I think he would like to have taken over a team with a little, you know, a little talent coming back, but he didn't. But I tell you, he's done a great job. And I'll be honest, I went down to the First Pitch Bank when I looked around. I'm like, I know like 40 kids at all. You know what I mean? So I didn't hardly recognize any of them, you know. So he's got his hands full. You know, one thing I do know about Brent, he's he's a salt to earth, one of the greatest men you ever meet in your life. He's got the kids believing. I talked to a bunch of the kids, and they're like, you know, obviously he's not Mike Silva. Him and Mike Silva are two different people.
Oh, totally, totally.
Totally different, you know, but I tell you what he does. He's got those kids believe in him. They know the direction they're heading. They know they have their hands full. You know, the Southland Conference is going to be tough again this year. Obviously, all of his midway games, you play teams in the state of Louisiana. There's not many passes in the state of Louisiana anymore. So he knows he has his hands full, but I know for a fact that he's gonna have those kids out there fighting.
Scott, Daniel Dickinson, and I remember when LSU got the commitment from him, and people were, man, they were texting in, Utah Valley? What? I mean, why are we getting a guy from a bigger school? You saw real quick I can swing a bat, and, you know, over the weekend, 556, 5 of 9, hits a double, a home run, and gets 7 RBIs. I think Jay Johnson knows a little bit about talent. That's why he signed Daniel Dickinson. Utah Valley or not?
Yeah. At the end of the day, baseball talent is baseball talent. Sometimes guys, i.e. myself, I mean, people say, well, how did you play at LSU? Well, at the time coming out of high school, I wasn't good enough to play at LSU. 2 years later, I was, right? But I stayed at Nichols. You know, and that's a perfect example, you know, of a kid like Daniel Dickinson. You know, number one, he's a baseball player. Obviously, he's got a good swing. His bats, and it stays in the zone a long time. You know, the one thing I am interested to see, you know, obviously he hasn't faced the gauntlet of SEC. So I'm hoping as time builds, you know, some of the guys you're seeing now are throwing 84, 86, touching 90. That's kind of a lot what you saw at Utah Valley. So I'm hoping as, you know, as he gets an SEC play, well, obviously he's been facing a lot of inner squads with LSU, so he's seen some velocity, you know. But I really want to see I think he's going to step up, and he's going to be one of the key cogs this year for LSU because, obviously, Tommy White's gone. You know, obviously Dylan Cruz has been gone for a couple of years, but a lot of the power's gone. So somebody's got to step up and be that 15 to 18. You know, Jacques Joubert is another name. And I think Dickinson can be that guy to protect Barry Jones. So somebody's got to protect Barry Jones so they don't just walk him 3 out of 4 at-bats. And so hopefully he can drive in some runs. He doesn't have to hit 25 home runs, but if he can hit 12 to 15 home runs and maybe 25, 30 doubles, he's going to be a perfect guy to sit right behind Barry Jones in that lineup.
So, Scott, we talked a little bit about a couple new faces on the mound. I want to bring up a couple new faces in the lineup. And I'm going to start with the freshman Derek Curiel. Off to a great start to his collegiate career, 7 of 14 in his first 4 games played, 6 RBI already in this season. I know that Daniel Dickinson's already got 9, so he's got him beat there. But just a really strong start for Curiel, who was another very highly touted freshman. You brought up, you know, William Schmidt on the mound, but you know, in the lineup with Derek Curiel, I think D1 had him as the preseason freshman of the year in the SEC. So that shows how high they were on him. And he's off to a great start.
Yeah, so Curiel is what I would call a pro's pro. I mean, I watched that kid probably 10 at-bats this weekend. And if I wouldn't have known he was a freshman, I'd have thought he was a four-year senior, you know, with 4 years of college experience in his belt. Like, he steps into the box against a lefty and takes at-bats against lefties that 18-year-old kids don't take. You know, he's a kid, once again, I talked to a bunch of scouts about him, and they're like, you know, he's not a blazing speedster, but he's fast on the baseball field. You know what I mean? His arm is not super duper over the top, but he makes every throw. You know what I mean? He knows how to play the game of baseball. He knows how to put quality at bats every time up. If you ever notice, Jay Johnson always puts his best hitter in the two spot almost every year. And when I saw this kid hitting two hole, I was like, wow, Jay thinks a lot of this kid because he doesn't just put anybody in the two hole, you know, i.e. he had Dylan Cruz in the two hole most of his last year until I think he moved to the leadoff towards the end when they made that run. But yeah, so Curiel was just a pro's pro. And I tell you, he reminds me of kind of a Daniel Cabrera when Daniel Cabrera came in as a freshman, jumped right in. But obviously I think he's even more talented than Daniel Cabrera. But he's going to be a kid that's going to make LSU fans, like, fall in love with him because he plays the game right, he plays the game smart, and he knows the game of baseball.
Go ahead, Mike.
Last question for you, Scott. You brought up Jared Jones, and I remember last year early on, man, it was either a strikeout or it was a home run. There was not much in between. But I remember you kind of bringing this up when we were doing the shows, that you see the progression in him. He was a little bit better at kind of spraying the ball around. He was a little bit more patient with his swing. And I'm interested to see his development this year. Now, he's going to see a lot of walks. I mean, there are going to be some pitchers. They're not going to want to pitch to him. But your thoughts on Jared Jones? It was a guy that I think maybe some people thought he wouldn't return.
He's already walked 5 times this year, Mike.
But 5 times already this year, he's walked. So you can see, man, there is a little bit of fear that he's put in him, but he has become a better overall hitter.
Scott, they're not throwing any fastballs near the zone against Jared Jones early on.
Well, probably not, and I don't blame him. So the one thing I tell people when they ask about Jared Jones, I tell them, I said, Bear came to LSU as a swinger. Yep. He was a swinger, right? He swung hard in case he hit it. And that's what a lot of young players do. And I give probably a lot of credit to Dylan Cruz, him watching Dylan Cruz, him watching Tommy White, right? Sometimes the best teachers are not your coaches in your dugout. Sometimes your best teachers are the best players on the team, and you watch, you know, because Tommy White, for as many home runs as he hit and as many, you know, things, he was a hitter. But Tommy White probably started off at some point in his career as a swinger, you know what I mean? But it's, you know, it's zone recognition. Barry Jones, finally, after many, many – and he was lucky to play a lot as a freshman. He played probably half the games. Then as a sophomore, he played a ton, you know. But as he his strike zone awareness now is so much better, and he understands that, okay, guys aren't going to always just throw me cookies down the middle anymore because I can hit the ball 600 feet. You know, but he's turned himself into what I would consider a pro hitter because now he knows strike zone. He's not just swinging. He's not swinging. You don't see him swinging as sliders that bounce in the left-handed batter's box anymore, which he did as a freshman, you know, because he says, no matter what's coming, I'm swinging like it's a fastball. And if it's spun, he missed it by 2 feet. But he doesn't do that anymore. You know, and obviously I was there the other day, and he hit a ball off the middle of the scoreboard, and I was like, holy moly. There's not many people walking this earth that can hit. Number one, they just can't even hit the scoreboard, but they hit it almost three-quarters of the way up. That's what he did. And a buddy of mine, I was at the game, he said, you think he can play pro ball? I was like, yes, because I said, you know how many people walking this earth can actually hit that scoreboard right there? Not off of 80, and it was an 85-mile-an-hour fastball, which means he probably had to generate 75% of the power, or maybe 50% of the power. When somebody's throwing 95, you just have to, you know, you just have to create some of the power and let the velocity. But he created literally 75% of that power, which is absolutely amazing for, you know what I mean. But he's a hitter, and I tell you, every at bat he gets better and better. And like I said, he learned from two great ones, in Cruz and Tommy White.
Scott, thanks so much for joining us, man. Always great to hear your voice and tremendous insights, and we appreciate it, and we'll be talking real soon.
Thanks, Scott.
Sounds good.
All right, thank you, guys.
Have a great evening.
All right, you too, Scott. Scotty Sanders, former Major League Baseball pitcher. Now, man, he's always got them peeping eyes on the LSU Tiger baseball team. We'll be back with Triple Option right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. It's our Triple Option feature. Steven, you first.
Well, guys, the Carolina Panthers are bringing back Andy Dalton on a 2-year deal. ESPN.
Oh, Bobby will like that.
I know. This triple option feature definitely dedicated to the cannon today. Adam Schefter of ESPN reports it's $8 million with $6 million guaranteed, and he's got a max value of $10 million on that deal. The 37-year-old's appeared in 9 games the last 2 seasons in Carolina, threw 9 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, while providing a trusted voice for the young Bryce Young at quarterback. Now, Dalton stepped in after started 5 games when Young struggled on early in the year, remember, and he led the Panthers to their first win of the season against the Raiders. But then that, you know, it was kind of strange. There was reported he was injured in a car wreck in November, and then Bryce Young got the job back and never looked back. But in 14 seasons with the Bengals, Cowboys, Bears, Saints, and Panthers, Andy Dalton's thrown for 500 yards with 253 touchdowns, 150 interceptions, and he's got a passer rating of 87.5. Surprisingly, seeing this, guys, 26th on the all-time passing list. He's ahead of Hall of Famers Jim Kelly, Steve Young, Troy Aikman, Kurt Warner, and Y.A. Tittle. He's also 26th all-time in passing touchdowns, one behind Hall of Famer Dan Fouts. So congratulations to 37-year-old Andy Dalton, another 2 years in Carolina.
Yeah, and he's got a big family, so I'm glad to see he gets a couple more years. And I think that contract could actually expand to $10
million. Yeah.
He's got some incentives in there. Charlie?
Guys, I'm going with Daniel Jeremiah, our friend over at NFL Network, released his second mock draft today. A couple interesting picks here. I'm only going to go over the top 5 and then bring up the Saints one. He has Cam Ward going at number 2 to the Browns after Abdul Carter goes off the board number 1 overall to the Tennessee Titans. Like that's pretty interesting. The Giants taking Travis Hunter at 3. The Patriots taking Will Campbell at 4. And the Jaguars taking Mason Graham at number 5. Now with the Saints at pick number 9, he has them selecting Marshall Edge Mike Green. Mike, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about with James early on in the hour about Mike Green as a prospect. Obviously, the production was there this past year at Marshall, 17 sacks, led the FBS. He's got great juice in the pass rush, but he's also, as you mentioned, an improved run defender as well. And what he did at the Senior Bowl lifted
his
draft
stock
significantly. I think he was probably viewed as, you know, a decent draft
pick. I
thought
he was a first-round
pick. Yeah, first-round selection this year. But now he's being talked about as a potential top 10 selection in this draft. It's very intriguing.
Yeah, so that there's a little bit of a scale there. Okay, that there's going to be a little bit of wiggle room. So, but I do think he is going to go in the teens in round one. Julie Boudouin had an interview today with LSU defensive coordinator Blake Baker. And he says that Harold Perkins Jr. will play the star position at LSU, which is the hybrid position. We've talked about this before, kind of part linebacker, part defensive back. And so that's where Harold Perkins Jr. will play this year.
Where he belongs.
And basically teaming him up with Whit Weeks. And, man, Whit was a big-time tackling machine last year. Sometimes he gets a little overzealous, Whit, and he pulls himself out of position. But he's a guy that's always got his GPS running. Man, he's after you. But it was confirmed today in an interview with Julie Boudouin that he will play that star linebacker position, which is a bit of a hybrid spot. But I think that's the best spot for him, where you can use him to rush the passer. And he showed a lot of improvement in the ability to cover downfield. But my thing is, hey, you see that guy that gets the snap? Put him on his butt. That's what Harold Perkins can
Harold.
Do. Yeah, it's like, watch out. Here he comes. So, we'll see what happens with that defense. And I think that defensive line is going to be much improved this year for the Tigers with more talent, talent depth, and Bo Davis. We'll be back to finish it off here on hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottillo along with Charlie Long, Steve Geller. Steve, tell everybody, I know you rolled till 8 o'clock tonight. What you got on after 6?
We're going to recap LSU's win over Southern, play some post-game audio, hear what Jay Johnson had to say. Also get in with Jeff Nowak, St. Sideline Reporter, the latest on all the offensive coaching hires that the Black and Gold had today. Busy day for them. And then in the 7 o'clock hour leading into the LSU basketball game against South Carolina, we'll talk to Toy Lloyd Brown, LSU men's basketball writer for The Advocate and the Times-Picayune, previewing that matchup. Two teams in this matchup tonight, Mike. Both of them combined, two SEC victories. Pretty rough.
Yeah. Oh, that's all I got to say on that one. Hey, Big Cheesy, hold on. Steve will take your call right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL.
You want to get the most for your money? Well, that's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Lease a new 2025 Mazda CX-30 all-wheel drive, only $199 a month, or buy and get 0.9 APR financing for 36 months. Start shopping now at RamseyMazda.com. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Call 833-853-2970 for details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN number SM809245. MSRP 26940. Ends 2/28/25.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is how flying should be. That's what a Breeze guest recently said about Breeze Airways. Breeze flies nonstop to Sarasota, Bradenton, and more straight from Long Island MacArthur Airport. Breeze not only makes travel easy and affordable, but they offer flexible and friendly change policies, have high-speed Wi-Fi, and a premium first-class seat called Breeze Ascent. It's time you choose to fly Breeze. What are you waiting for? Book your flight today at flybreeze.com. Breeze Airways, seriously nice, in partnership with Visit Bradenton.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Join thousands as we journey over 16 miles from dusk till dawn for a night of healing and hope while raising much-needed funds and awareness for this important cause. Register today at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. 888-843-6837.